I am looking for a strong telephone call. Hit me up. Do it now. 1-800-636-8686. We are all over the Masters. I will get your telephone calls in a little bit later on. We're talking NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, and more. But we are joined right now by an analyst, a golf analyst, author of Unplayable, an inside account of Tiger's most tumultuous season. I consider him a good friend of the program. Robert Lucetich is my guest. Robert, good to have you back. How are you?
Ryan, great to be back, mate.
Good to have you. All right, so you've had a few hours, Robert, to reflect and think about what you saw yesterday. What do you think? What do you make of what you saw yesterday?
I mean, remarkable. It's just remarkable. I certainly don't hide from the fact that I did not think Tiger Woods, especially a couple of years ago, was really ever going to play golf again in any meaningful way, much less be winning the Masters. I mean, I don't know that there is a parallel in sports that matches what we've seen. And, you know, he certainly didn't think he was either, by the way. This week, you know, he's always very, very guarded with what he lets out. But, you know, this week he admitted at a golf writer's dinner that he thought he was done 2 years ago, that he needed a nerve-blocking epidural just to walk to the champions' dinner here 2 years ago. So to go from there through the, you know, a month after that, by the way, he has the DUI, which I personally believe is where the road to this green jacket began, because it was his rock bottom when the world saw, you know, that mugshot. It was just very sad and how far he had fallen. I think that if you look at that, I think he has been on a steady climb since, and he had to find his game, which last year we saw that he started to put it together, wins at the Tour Championship. But again, what's really been missing, 2008 was his last major. Did he have the stones? Did he have the nerves to win a major again? And he answered that emphatically for us yesterday.
Robert Lucetich joining us. He is the author of Unplayable, an inside account of Tiger's most tumultuous season, and a golf analyst. So, Robert, to that point, how much of yesterday was about Tiger finding his game once again, and in particular the greens he hit? And then how much of this was about Tiger finding his belief in himself again?
Well, I think those two are married. I think that Tiger has always been a confidence player, but everybody always points to his short game and his putter, and that's true because for a very long time, he didn't miss a putt, and that is just the rarest of all things in golf. But where did the confidence come from? It's always come from ball striking for him, and I think that the ball striking is what left him. You know, he started to lose that, certainly even before, I think, the scandal, but somehow the scandal and all the psychological drama, the emotional drama that came with that, he broke up with Hank Haney, his coach, and he started searching. And in golf, you know, anybody that plays golf knows what it's like to search for a swing, to try and find something, and you're often grasping at straws. But what I saw last year at the PGA Championship in St. Louis was, yes, Tiger was horrendous off the tee, but he has been in the past. But his iron play was stellar. He looked relaxed. He was hitting his irons with great trajectory. With, you know, Jack Nicklaus said yesterday, best distance control he's ever seen from anyone with an iron in his hand. And that's Jack Nicklaus saying that, not me. Jack Nicklaus says, and so Tiger has found that, and that's where the confidence comes from. And so if you have that kind of confidence, I mean, he only led in one statistical category this week, and it was greens and regulation. It wasn't putting, it wasn't scrambling, it wasn't driving distance. It was greens hit in regulation. And I think if you go back to when, in his pomp, when he was just by miles the best player, look at the stat of greens in regulation, and he was miles ahead of everybody.
Robert Lucetich is joining us. You actually jumped to my next point. I was going to say to you, Robert, was it a vintage Tiger performance, or was that a different Tiger performance than what we've seen from him in the past in the majors?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I think it was vintage in the sense of when he had to hit the big shot. On 16, he had to hit a big shot. On 15, he had to hit a big shot. These were all, you know, he birdies 13, which you have to. He hits it around the corner. That means he's got to turn it right to left. He has struggled mightily over the last half of his career with hitting a draw at will. But he hits that shot on 13, which is a right to left shot, and he hit it down there where he had an 8-iron in, And back in the day, in 1997, he hit an 8-iron into that green, too, on the Sunday. So it really, in a way, it was vintage. But the other part of it was he played, he sort of picked apart the course. He put himself in positions where he wasn't going to make, to blow up or make mistakes. If you look at that, the 12th hole was pivotal yesterday. Molinari was playing. It wasn't his best, but he was hanging in there. He had a two-shot lead. He hits it in the water on 12. Poulter hits it in the water on 12. Koepka, water on 12. Finau, water on 12. What did Tiger do? He aimed 30 feet left of that, hit it to the middle of the green, and two-putted for par. That is smart play. That's the kind of play that you know, separates the champions. And so, in a sense, you know, yes, it was vintage, but it was also, you know, in a way, he's made this analogy before about, listen, Michael Jordan towards the end had to go to a fadeaway jumper. And in a sense, that was his fadeaway jumper.
Huh. So what about all those other players on 12? I mean, you should point out, I mean, guy after guy, double bogeying 12. Were they seeing something, Robert, that we weren't? Or was that just bad execution?
No, it's experience. The Tiger has played this 20 times. He knows that you don't feel that wind. It swirls down there. It's the trickiest, I think, the trickiest par three in the world, certainly in terms of major golf, because you just don't feel that wind. Now, it's a 9-iron. For Koepka, it's probably a pitching wedge, 155 it probably played, somewhere around there. So, but Koepka hit 9-iron, hit it in the water. Anytime you hit it to that pin on the right, it's a sucker pin, and they all hit to it. And they think to themselves, well, if I'm short, I'll be in that bunker, and so I can get up and down from there. But if you're short of the bunker or right of the bunker, you're going in the water. Tiger knew that. They all aimed over there. I think Molinari made the mistake of knowing that there was probably a bit of wind, and he was not sure, but he doesn't have the experience of playing that hole, especially under pressure. So he tried to chip an 8-iron. It was probably a 9-iron, but he tried to chip the 8-iron, and he just didn't hit it hard enough. And I think all of them, you know, you get fooled, and Tiger just wasn't going to be fooled. The other thing is Tiger didn't need to make a birdie on that hole, and he understands that. And I think that's, you know, again, this is experience. It's what separates him from a lot of guys. And he played the shot 30 feet away because he knew he could cover that, and he'd be safe.
Robert Lucetich is joining us. So, Robert, there were a lot of different ways to rank yesterday's swing among his majors. Like, the 97 Masters was significant because the 2000 U.S. Open because of the dominance. But knowing what you know about what Torrey Pines in 2008 meant to him, what is your sense, Robert, as to how Tiger himself would rank his major wins?
Well, look, I asked him this very question yesterday in the press conference, and he said, you know, it's got to be up there, doesn't it? And I think that, in a sense, I separate his wins in terms of sporting excellence and what they mean to him. So if you're talking about sporting excellence, you've got to put the 97 Masters at the top of the list, and that is just because it changed everything, every single thing. He was suddenly, you've got Michael Jordan was sort of getting to the end of his career. Nike and IMG now have this young golfer, Tiger Woods, and he just ticks all the boxes. He is going to be a game changer, not just for golf, but for sport and for culture. And he did that. He was a global superstar, and that was what launched him. But for me, sporting excellence, you talk about sporting excellence, I will not live long enough to see anything greater than the 2000 US Open at Pebble Beach. He won by 15, Jim, 15 shots. That is just otherworldly. But then if you look at the personal, Torrey Pines, 2008, that was an ode to his dad. That, you know, that's where the two of them went to see professional golf. And, you know, on a personal level, I think that, you know, and remember, too, he basically won that thing on one leg. The doctors told him, you know, shut it down. We'll have surgery. You come back next year. And he said, no chance. And Steve Williams, his old caddy, said to me that of all the tournaments that, you know, Tiger had played and the majors they'd won together, which was 13, he never really addressed a major until it was the next one coming up. He said even the 2001 Masters, where he was going for the Tiger Slam four in a row, he didn't talk about it until it was time for that event, except for Torrey Pines. As soon as the USGA said they were going to take the US Open to Torrey Pines, Williams said he couldn't, you know, Tiger couldn't stop talking about it, and that's all he talked about, and he obsessed about it. So, in a sense, that, to me, on an emotional level, he probably puts that one very, very high. And then this one is, again, I think there's an element of greatness to it, the comeback, but for his personal, I think he personally would put this, obviously, in the top four, and maybe he would even put it, you know, higher than, I would say it would probably be second or third, but he might even put it higher because of what he's had to overcome, the fact that it's been 11 years, and the fact that everybody wrote him off.
Robert Lucetich joins us. Robert, before you go, and it's so good to have you back on, I got to ask you this. From a mental standpoint, getting from 14 to 15 was an absolute battle. Is getting from 15 to 18 or even 19 easier than 14 to 15?
It's by far easier, by far. I would watch out for Tiger from now on, because now that he knows he can do it again, and he smells the scent of victory, you know, he knows that he can beat these guys. And I tell you what, I haven't been this excited in a long time. Bethpage, next month, the PGA Championship. He is going to be geared up for that. And then let's not forget, we go back to Pebble Beach in June for the U.S. Open. I really think this is going to be, you know, one of the more exciting years that we've seen in a very long time. And again, 15 was always going to be the hardest one because 14 was just so long ago and so many things have happened, and the scandal and the injuries. You know, now he's got that one under his belt. Watch out for Tiger.
He is a golf analyst and the author of Unplayable, an inside account of Tiger's most tumultuous season. Robert Lucetich is my guest. Robert, expertly done as always. And so good to have you back, Robert. Thank you very much.
You got it, mate. Let's do it again.
Love to. Robert Lucetich. Could listen to him break that down all day long. 1-800-636-8686.